Good morning, everyone. We're turning to Joshua and the chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. We're coming to a very important event, both in the life of Joshua and also in the life of the nation of Israel. They're on the very verge of the promised land. The very verge. And they're about to walk across the Jordan and enter into the promised land. It must have been a most exciting day. They had been thinking about this for a long, 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 long time. Most of them for over 40 years. They had been wandering about in the wilderness. Terrible place. I remember hearing of a party from Ulster who went out to visit the Holy Land. And they took in, as part of the trip, a brief visit to Egypt. And the bus had a drive down through the area that Israel had wandered through. And when they were in the very heart of that area, the tour leader got the bus to stop and they got everybody out. Now inside the bus it was lovely. They had air conditioning, so the outside temperature didn't really interfere with their comfort inside the bus. But once they went out through the doors, it literally was like stepping into an oven. And the leader let them stand there for just a few minutes, just to give them some idea of the heat that there was in that area, and through which the children of Israel had wandered during those 40 years. And they all came away, you know, with a very vivid impression, a much clearer impression of what the children of Israel faced during that time. Well, here in chapter 3, they're about to pass into a more pleasant climate and a more pleasant land, the promised land. Let's read from verse 14, please. Verse 14, "And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above, flowing down from the north, stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed," that is, they disappeared. Naturally enough, they flowed on and disappeared down the river course and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry land in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. As I've said, this was a most wonderful, long anticipated event. And there is here, for Joshua led the people, another likeness in the life of Joshua to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land. Into the promised land. After many years of wandering around, many difficulties, and many battles. Indeed, just prior to the crossing of the Jordan, they had fought some very fierce battles with those who occupied that part of the territory through which they had recently passed. But now they're entering the promised land. And as I say, there is a parallel here between Joshua and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something, boys and girls, that points forward for each one of you that is saved. It points forward to an event that lies in the future. An event that, generally speaking, people in this world don't want to think about, but not the people of God. Not the people of God. They think about the event about which I'm going to speak quite a lot. We sang the hymn, "Oh, what must it be to be there? To be there! To be there! Oh, what must it be to be there?" That sums up the feelings of the Christian regarding heaven. And of course, for us, heaven is the place to which we are going when we leave this earth. And going to heaven for the Christian is pictured for us in the crossing of the Jordan by Israel, led by Joshua. And here's the likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of Joshua that we want to think about today. He led Israel into the promised land. He led Israel into the promised land. That is where the Lord Jesus is leading every one of his people. You're young. Maybe you don't think too much about this. And that's very understandable. Though as you get older, you do begin to think a bit more about our departure from this world, death, and our entering into heaven. Now, it's a good thing to think about it, as long as we think according to God's word. As long as we don't adopt notions about dying that this world has come up with. For this world is entirely wrong about most things, if not all things. And it certainly is wrong about death. But the word of God teaches us very clearly what death means for the child of God. And it's pictured here for us in this crossing of the Jordan. Let me point out first of all that under Joshua and his leadership, the River Jordan was divided. They didn't have a huge struggle crossing the River Jordan. Did you notice that it said it was in flood? It was harvest time. Now, harvest time for Israel is not our harvest time. It's not September. It's actually about this time of the year. Because Israel enjoys, because of the wonderful climate, they enjoy two harvests. And the first harvest is around about this time of the year. So this is coming just at the right time of the year for us to study this subject. Well, in the harvest time, the Jordan flooded. Now, I haven't researched this, but I would suggest to you that the reason why Jordan flooded at this time of the year was the snow melting on the mountains from which the Jordan was sourced. The winter had ended, and although down in the valleys it was lovely and warm, up on the mountains it had gradually warmed up, the snow had melted, and the melted water began to run down the valleys, down into the beginnings of the Jordan, and soon the Jordan was in full flow, and it flooded out over its banks. So, now that they were going to enter the promised land by crossing the Jordan, they did so, not with a great struggle, as you would imagine would be the case if they had to make their own way across a flooded river. If anybody goes to the Jordan now, into that particular part, near Jericho, they might discover the river's not that, really that big. It's a sizable river, but it's really not that big. That's because it's not the river that it once was, for the simple reason that Israel and countries north of Israel have diverted the waters of the Jordan into various irrigation plans in their country. You know what I mean by that? They divert the water to irrigate their crops, to water their crops. And consequently, by the time the river reaches Jericho, there's not nearly the water today in it that there would have been in the days of Joshua. So it's perhaps a little hard for us to imagine how great a river it was in that time, especially when it was in flood. But the point is, boys and girls, that entering into the promised land, crossing over the Jordan, was not the struggle that perhaps some anticipated, because how they crossed the Jordan had never been mentioned. Nobody imagined that day what would happen until now they had come to that day and they were told that God would open up the way for them. And we read that the priests went before, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as the priests stepped into the water, just the first part of the river that they come to, as soon as they put their foot in, The river became a scene of a mighty miracle from God. As soon as the priest's feet touched the water, God put, as it were, an invisible dam upriver to stop the water. And it began to pile up. It began to pile up. We read in verse 16 that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap. It was as if a glass wall had sprung up out of the bed of the river, and the water came down, hit the glass wall, and rose up. Now, there wasn't a glass wall. The power of God. And God stopped the river. Within a very few moments, the bed of the river was dry. The water flowed on and left the river dry. And then they stepped across. Now, it's important for you to grasp the change there was. As they had approached the river, there it was, flowing as a torrent. It was overflowed. Therefore, there was a great flow of water in the river, and it was flowing swiftly, probably very noisily. And as they came up to the bank of the river there, that's what they heard, that's what they saw. Quite a terrifying sight. But as soon as the priests put their foot in the water stopped and became dry. There's a very vital lesson here, boys and girls, and I want you to learn it. I want you to learn it. There might be some people you know that think, oh, this is an awful subject to teach to boys and girls. I'm not quite sure why folk would think that, because we are but teaching from the book that God gave you to read. And in the book that God gave you to read, we are told that when we come to the end of our life in this world, and we are to depart to go to be with Christ, death might appear to us as a great overflowing torrent. Terrifying. Frightening indeed. But when we reach the edge of the river, a miracle is going to take place. Every child of God has found, when it comes to passing from this world into the presence of God, that the passing has been easy. The passing has been easy. Oh, there might have been many a fear, many a doubt, many a thought that filled the heart with horror beforehand. Just as it must have appeared most frightening for the children of Israel as they approached the river and saw its vastness and the fury of its flow. But when they reached its edge, God intervened. That's the experience that awaits each and every one of us when we come to the river of death. It's good to know that. The world is terrified of death. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. And that's understandable. But for the child of God, we can think this about it. When it comes to crossing the river, our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be there. And the river will be parted for us. Now, I want you to notice that the reason why the river was parted is symbolized for us, and we'll only touch on this today, it's symbolized for us by that which the Ark of the Covenant signified. It says, if you look back there to the verse 15, and as they that bear the ark came unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark, that's twice it has said it, you might think that, well, once would do, but God's emphasizing the fact that what was about to happen was linked to the carrying of the ark. As they that bear the ark came unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam. It's not the feet of the priests that was the source of this miracle, but it was the ark. If priests had stepped into the river without the ark, nothing would have happened. But they were carrying the ark. And because of that, something happened. Now, what was the ark? It was a very ornate and beautiful, well, we'll call it a box, in which there was the commandments, etc., overshadowed by the two angelic figures made out of gold, carried upon the shoulders of the priests. But do you know the most significant thing about the ark? It was sprinkled with the blood of atonement. Sprinkled with the blood of atonement. On the Day of Atonement each year, the high priest went in to the very secret place of the tabernacle, and before God he sprinkled the blood that had been offered on the altar. He sprinkled the blood upon the ark and made atonement for the sins of Israel. And that blood was upon the ark. Priest didn't come in a day or two later, you know, and clean it all off. No, the blood remained on the ark. And boys and girls, that which will open up the river of death for you and for me is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. Now the shedding of that blood has brought to us many, many benefits. It has cleansed away our sins. It has reconciled us with God. We're no longer his enemies. And it will part the river of death for us. It will part the river of death. That's part of the whole package, can I put it like that? The whole package of redemption that Jesus Christ purchased for us at Calvary. Part of that package is the parting of the river of death. If you have known God's saving mercy in your life, you've known what it is to have your sins forgiven, you've known what it is to have peace with God, you have known what it is to have the joy of salvation, and to have the song of redemption put within your heart, you've known what it is to walk with the Lord Jesus during your lifetime. When you come to death, then here's part of what was bought for you at Calvary. Parting of the river. Oh, I say again, it may have been thundering down the valley there in front of them. Terrifying! But because of the shed blood, when they came to cross it, the water was miraculously stopped. The riverbed was dry. They walked across dry foot. This is why Joshua gives to us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows to us what the Savior will do for us when our time comes to stop the wandering in this old wilderness and go to heaven. Our Joshua, the Lord Jesus, will be there to part the river for us. May the Lord bless his word. We'll come back again to this little portion. I didn't quite finish off the point about the precious blood being the source of the miracle that will stop the river, but we'll finish that off the next time we're with you. Let us bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank thee, Lord, that all is well with the soul of those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember how the Savior said to his disciples that they weren't to fear. They weren't to fear, they weren't to be frightened, for he would go before them. Do bless us as a school today, undertake for each of its needs. We commit them afresh to thee, O God. Meet the need of the school. Lord, I pray that your hand will be upon every requirement, and that thou shalt supply everything that is required. Bless the staff, and bless the pupil. Remember the little ones that are not here, maybe because of sickness. We commit them to thee, and indeed all who need your healing touch, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.